Welcome to Screen Space 16, an interview with Sean Slattery on information management techniques for writers. Welcome to Screen Space, your podcast about creating usable, accessible, effective, and efficient web, blog, and digital media design for the everyday and non-expert designer. This is episode 16 of Screen Space, an interview with Sean Slattery on information management techniques for writers. I'm your host, Dr. Jennifer L. Bowie. I teach and conduct research in areas related to digital media, web, and blog design. First, a welcome to my new listeners from Casablanca, Morocco, Santiago, Chile, and Mumbai, India. And welcome to my new U.S. listeners from Brunswick, Georgia, New York, New York, and Holland, Michigan. Thanks for stopping by, and design well. In this episode, we hear from Sean Slattery on information management techniques for writers. Let's dive in, and I'll provide some news about Sean after the interview. Welcome, everybody. Today I'm here with Sean. He just presented a paper at Computers and Writing called Composing Information Spaces, Writer's Need for Information Management Techniques. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
If you'd like a chance to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, that would be great.
Sure. I study and teach writing with and for technology, I think is my nutshell answer, that I'm pretty fascinated with how people manage the process of writing, and particularly the artifacts that they have to shuffle around, the digital artifacts, the paper artifacts, and how they have to manage that stuff. And I'll be starting soon at the University of South Florida Polytechnic.
Okay. Where is that?
That's in Lakeland, Florida, midway in between Tampa and Orlando.
So that will be hot.
It will be much warmer than Chicago.
Yes, I bet. Okay, so you just gave us a presentation, and as I was telling you, it's going to be pretty hot on Twitter. Got talked about quite a bit.
Right.
Could you give my listeners an overview of what you talked about?
Sure. In a nutshell, I was feeling flooded with information, between email and following things on Twitter, and all the reading I do professionally. There's just a lot I take in on an ongoing basis. And very frequently I have a project or eight that I'm trying to, that different things are going to apply to. And I find myself, like many people, struggling to keep track of it all and figure out how to best get back to what I found that I need 8 days later. You know, I know somebody wrote about that recently. And so I became very interested in how people manage their information in order to help them do work later. I'm mostly interested in writing work, but web design work or any sort of knowledge work in general, it applies to. And there are a couple different people talking about this stuff. One are business people, and you might have heard terms like information management, personal information management, or PIM. And then there are academic disciplines dedicated to the study of it. Information science, which has come out of library science. These are people who are very interested in how do people access information, how do we organize information in order for it to be found better. And they've been talking about this stuff for a long time too. So I thought, to help me with my problems and with information glut, and my student writers as well, maybe I could turn to these literatures and find some answers or suggestions about best practices. And that the talk today was a summary of my beginning of starting to look to those literatures to see what they can tell us.
Okay, great. So what would you tell my listeners about information management, and especially if they're doing some sort of blog or website project where they have a lot of information they have to manage?
Absolutely. I think some of the first advice I give is start getting clever about naming your files, and start being really reflective about, well, what should I name this? For an individual writing and you know what you tend to name stuff, that tends not to be a problem. But when you start working collaboratively and somebody names things one way and you name them another, that's where it really starts to frustrate a process and become inefficient and cause problems. And so as an individual, I think we can reflect on, okay, what's the best thing I could, when I download this or when I bookmark this, what can I call it to help me find it better? Mm-hmm. And start being reflective about that practice. And then anytime you enter into a collaborative situation, make room for discussing how you're going to manage the materials of the project. What are we going to call stuff? Should we use a Word document with track changes? Is a wiki a good solution for this information problem? Or maybe we want to pass notes back and forth, physically, paper notes, because that's just going to be quickest and easiest. And by having a range of practices, then you can adapt on the fly. Mm-hmm. Oh, this person tends to do things this way, so if I make this other suggestion, we'll have a good working process. Mm-hmm. And I think those sorts of things help well. I think another suggestion I would give is to start looking into it as a practice. Mm-hmm. Take a look online. You mentioned the possibility of online resources. Two great ones are a website called 43 Folders, run by Merlin Mann, who's really focused on productivity and getting back to creative work. Mm-hmm. So getting the work of organization out of the way so you can get back to the web design or the creative work that mm-hmm. you're really focused on doing. Another one is called Life Hack. It's a wonderful collection of tips and tricks and things that people are trying to help them with, not just managing projects, but managing their lives, because there's so much bleed over between, work and life.
Yeah. So, as part of this, have you noticed, are there particular time management gurus or books or people who come into play looking at information management?
I think the gurus tend to be found in kind of the professional setting. It's not so much the information science people, although there are folks who study personal knowledge management is a term that sometimes gets used too, particularly in Europe. But Merlin Mann is the developer of 43 Folders and the developer or the originator of the concept of Inbox Zero, or at least popularizing it. And so he's kind of a guru on how to really cut to the chase and get done what you need to get done. One of my favorite tricks of his, he calls it cringe-busting your to-do list. He knows that, people are procrastinators and that there are things that we avoid doing or put off. And he recommends looking at your to-do list and figuring out that one thing that you're like, oh, I should have had that back to them already, or this is going to be the real hard problem that I keep putting off. And he says, tackle that one first, but not necessarily with the intent of getting it all done at once, but chip away at it, keep moving the ball forward. Mm-hmm. And so figure out, what can I do on this in 5 minutes that will get me to the next step? So mm-hmm. cringe buster to-do list is one I enjoy.
That's a good one. Yeah, especially for those of us with
big to-do lists and procrastination problems like people do.
Okay, well, you might have kind of covered this before, but are there any particular tips that you would give, say, 3 tips for the everyday blog, web, and digital media designer, creator?
I spoke about them generally about, be thoughtful and reflective about what you name stuff and where you put it. I think another tip I would give is look at other people's practices and see, was that a smart decision they made or is that a bad decision? Something I was reading, I read the dissertation of a graduate who now researches at Google, and he was complaining about URLs, that there's a lot of unnecessary information in there, like whether something's in a CD bin or, and there's kind of clutter in the URL mm-hmm. that's because of where things are stored on the computer that the user doesn't need to know. And I think just being tuned into these sorts of things can help you make good decisions about, well, where do I save something or what do I call this folder? Because it's not just going to affect me and my ability to get back to it, but it might show up in the URL, it might affect users? Where might my user expect to find this information? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of reflective practice. And then, again, that coordination with anybody that you're working with about, you know, what are we going to call this? Trying to think of a few of the other things I found in my research. Some of it was just fun stuff, like people pay a lot of attention to where things are. And so we get in these habits of putting things in a certain place, even our digital stuff. Mm-hmm. For me, the recycle bin is always in the bottom left-hand corner. And if it's, you know, somewhere else on the desktop, it throws me just a little bit. And so being aware of kind of spatial preferences and things like that, and then trying to be consistent in applying them, helps people find information. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that's really bad about the GUI file management system of just a folder with a name. You know, it's very two-dimensional. It's this comes from Stuart Whitmore's work on memory and rhetorical practice. But he says, you know, a lot of the tools that we use don't really leverage how people's brains work. And so I think we can get around that. We can hack that by laying out websites consistently and right. those sorts of tricks. So.
Mm-hmm. Putting the search engine, the search bar in a regular place.
Yeah, and those show up because a lot of people try different stuff and then it normalizes. And mm-hmm. being aware of what's most normal, what's typical, will help you put it in the right place to help your user find it where they expect to look for it. So.
Yeah, great. That makes sense. Besides what you've mentioned, and feel free to say them again, are there any resources that you would recommend for people who are interested in learning more?
Absolutely. I think the Getting Things Done book is a really good place to start for productivity and staying focused on that. Definitely the Life Hack and 43 Folders are good web resources for this sort of practice, and particularly, you know, an everyday kind of fun approach. They're blogs, and so they have neat new postings on a pretty regular basis. And then I think beyond that, if you're interested in really trying to get better at naming things accurately or in ways that they can be refound, it just takes a lot of awareness of your own practices and trying to find places where you're seeing other people's practices. One place I find what people do to manage their information is on Flickr. A lot of people post images of their screenshots or of how they take notes in books, and because there's so much access to all these individuals' practices, you can find a lot of clever things people do, and that just helps make me more reflective of my own practices. That and it's just fun to poke around and see how people do things. So
I hadn't even thought about looking at how.
Even if you just do a Google image search on desktop or file management, or, you know, people upload all sorts of stuff, and it just gives you a gazillion instances to look around at and go, oh, I don't do it that way. I wouldn't have thought to do it that way. Is that way better for my situation, possibly?
Mm-hmm. That's what makes sense. Yeah, great. Okay. Do you have any links, websites, emails, or other way for people to find you if they have questions or want to know more?
Luckily, my name is unique enough, at least online, that I tend to be the top hit on Google. So if you just Google Sean Slattery, S-H-A-U-N-S-L-A-T-T-E-R-Y, my professional webpage and my Twitter feed and things like that come up pretty quick. So. If your listeners have questions or are interested in research or want to see a copy of the talk, they should feel free to contact me.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And that concludes the interesting interview with Sean. Thanks, Sean, for this great information. As I said before the interview, Sean has some exciting news to share with us, but I do not have this exciting news yet. I'll add it here when I do have it, and I'll repost this podcast with that correct information in it, and look forward to this upcoming interesting news. A note on the transcript. The transcript for this podcast is limited, as I do not have time right now to transcribe the interview. If any of you want to, I welcome your help. I did provide a brief summary of the interview for my audience with difficulty with sound. That wraps up episode 16, an interview with Sean Slattery on information management techniques for writers. Join us next week for the continuation of the Usability Testing 101 series. Lots of exciting episodes coming up there. If you have questions, comments, or thoughts on what you want me to cover, please send me an email at jbowie@screenspace.org or check out the ScreenSpace blog, www.screenspace.org. You can also follow ScreenSpace on Twitter at @screen_space for hints, tips, advice, news, and information on designing websites, blogs, and other digital media texts. Also, check out the blog for a transcript of this episode, complete with links and resources. Have fun and design well. ScreenSpace is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives Works 3.0 United States license. So, feel free to send a copy to your favorite writer who needs to learn how to manage information. But don't change the podcast. Do give Sean, me, and ScreenSpace credit, and don't make any money off of it. ScreenSpace's opening music today is African Dance by Yappie off the Headroom Project, and the closing music is Survival by Beth Quist off of Shall We Dance. Both these selections are available from Magnitude.